think about them.
The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 14th day of October, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 68 points, S&P up 9, and the comp is up 18. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
So, in front of you guys, you have an hourly chart of the S&P 500 E-mini futures contract. Looks like we have questions in the chat box already. Is 1217 your top zone for the week? Why, yes, Alan, it is. I was just getting to that. Alan asked if 12, 16, 17 was our top zone for the week, and the answer is yes, it is. In fact, talked about it a little bit on the blog the last couple nights. Here we go. Well, let me scroll down to the previous one just really quick. Here's where I pointed out where we tagged it on Wednesday to the upside on the 12th. And I talked about if this is the only thing you got, it'd be a pretty good deal. And then last night I did post this chart, which was what the action looked like after we hit that 12.17, and then we sold off right back down to the weekly zone at 87.88. And while I'm here, let me just point out once again that I did in fact make it much easier for you to navigate your way to the blog. It used to be like a three-step process. Well, you had to click here, and then you had to click here, and that got you there. But now from any page on the site, over on the right-hand side, you can just click visit our blog, and poof, you're there. Okay? Now, so that's what the charts look like on the blog over the last couple days, and this is what it now looks like live in real time. We've gone from the, well, I'll just back it up for a minute to the beginning of the week here. That was Sunday. This was Columbus Day, where price came up and tagged 87.88 and sold off. Then, in 1 hour, made this incredible breakthrough, only to come back. And then 87.88 was center of gravity for the entire 24-hour session on Tuesday. Below it, above it, below it. And then we got back above, and that's when we made the nice run up to 12.16, turned right at 12.16, came back down, and I had drawn this channel yesterday as we were closing out the radio program. I drew this channel, and I put this little arrow here, and I was pointing at that wick sticking up there. And the whole point being is price would do one of two things, and that would be break out of this channel or go back to the bottom of the channel. Now, which is the most likely scenario? Well, in hindsight, it's very easy to say one or the other. But here's something to think about in the future going forward. Okay, price went from the top to the bottom to the top. Ooh, didn't get to the bottom. It got right to that weekly zone, that area we've been dealing with all week, 87.88. Did an about face. And you know, this is actually kind of bearish here, the way this looks, but what happened is, in fact, what happened. So we got back to the middle of the channel, at a weekly trading zone, broke out of the top of the channel, and went right back to that 16.17 area that we tested back here. So that's where we're at. That brings us to today. Today's Friday. This was Thursday. This was Wednesday. This was Tuesday when we could not break away from that zone. Came back to it. Back to it. And now we're watching this area here. One last thing I'll point out, and then I'll give the mic to Mike, and he can do his recap. This is a weekly zone on the Dow. 11465/470. And as price came down this morning, we were watching this in the live trading room, and we said this is going to be important. If in fact this holds a support on the Dow, then we can expect that the ES will kind of hold some ground here. So really what we're watching and waiting for right now, all the partners, everyone who's in the live trading room, we're kind of waiting to see if this 465 number is going to give away. We got one close below it right here on our 500 contract chart, and then we popped right back above it, hit the BBC, sold right back off to the zone, and now we're trying to close higher. And so We discussed this as being an area that would be very important, and it would be important as to whether or not it chose to act as support, or if price got below it and it acted as resistance. So far, it's doing a very good job at the moment, since we hit it, of acting as support. Support here, then we put in a higher low here, and we're now trading right here. Okay, Michael, you know, I'm hearing a little static on the line. I don't know if that's me, or you, or the software, or maybe I just don't have it on the channel. I don't know.
My mic was off, so I don't think it was me. Mm. But my mic is on now, though.
I don't hear the static right now, and it wasn't bad. It was just a little... Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we went zone to zone to zone, and hopefully we're going to go back down to the next zone down below us today. That's what I'm anticipating here with this move. Let's make the recording, and we'll go over the morning trades. All right. Recording will start in...
Take the charts.
3, 2, 1. Oops, good point. Okay, the recording will really start in a couple of minutes. Well, I mean, you guys can't see my charts right now, but the recording is showing my charts right now. Anyway, this morning we had a few trades. It was a really sideways market this morning, in the trading that we were doing. Okay, I'm going to grab the charts here, and then I'll explain the sideways market. All right. Give me just a second. This is going to be a funny recording on the recap, because all my screens just went purple, and now they're coming back. All right. So you guys should have everything now. You should be able to see everything.
Got it.
All right. Anyway, this morning we had... I'll give the results first so you can see that. We had +9 ticks on the YM. We missed a couple trades there. We had -12 ticks over here on the ES. We actually went short over here right at the close of the morning session, and that trade would still be live if I didn't. I moved my stop up right up above this level right here, and that trade would still be live if I hadn't done that. The risk was up here, and the target was right here. So that trade would have been going for over half an hour. About 40 minutes. We'll go through the trades that I did take, though, okay? We didn't have anything in the early morning. You know, from the 9:30 to 10 o'clock, we didn't have anything in there. The BBC was inside the box pretty much the whole time, or we didn't have a bubble on the bottom. Over here, this wasn't a trade right here. We did have the bubble, and it was the first pullback, but we didn't have a trade because of this area right here, okay? The next one that happened along was right here. We had the bubble right here. It pulled back up. We shorted the BBC. Price moved in our favor over here, and I moved my stop up to break even, and I got out of break even right there. All right. Now, price went back inside the box here. I did something in the morning session that I don't normally do, and I actually made a mistake doing it. In the partners' meetings for the past couple of weeks, we had been... we had been going through all the different things that all the partners are doing and what's working for them and what's not working for them. And I took a trade that one of the partners normally puts on, but I did it wrong. And I ended up losing 8 ticks on it right here. Okay, that's why I marked it with a different color than I normally use. All right, it was a trade. It was a non-CFRN, we'll say, trade that I took. But it didn't work out because I did it wrong. Had I done it properly... Well, I wouldn't have taken any trade at all had I been doing it properly. I wouldn't have done anything at all right there. It didn't, you know, it didn't set up for him, and it didn't set up for us. The next trade that I took was that last one that I explained to you. We pulled back here. We had a nice bubble and pulled back to the BBC right here. I moved my stop up to -1 point once the thing had really tried to get down to the target over here, and I thought it was going to go. It still hasn't done it. And it was still struggling with this. So I ended up losing 4 ticks on that. That's what put me down 12 ticks over here. On the morning session. Now the YM, I missed a couple of trades on the YM this morning, but I did take one trade, okay? This is the one trade that I took right here. We had the bearish cross and a pullback up to the BBC. I had 7 ticks risk on it, and I was looking for it to get down to the MA1 right over here, which it did do. That's where I took my profit. So I got 9 ticks profit on that one right there at the MA1. After it went down to the MA1, put in a lower swing, there was right here a divergence trade set up. Once price pulled back up and came back and closed below the MA1 when we had full divergence right here, we could have shorted right here with a 10 by 15 bracket on, and I'm not sure if that would have worked out or not. The other possible entry opportunity was right here after we hit the BBC here and we started to fade off it. The first pull back up to it right here was an opportunity we could have shorted. This one down here I wasn't looking to do. Okay, going right into the zone, I wasn't looking to take any trades down here. Some of the partners in the room did take those trades, and they did make money on them. But I did not, and I did not. So that is where that puts us. Let's see, we have minus 12 ticks here, plus 9 ticks here. And that was our morning. On the option side of things, we didn't trade anything yesterday. We didn't put on any options trades. I was looking yesterday at the end of the morning session. I was looking at the 1180 puts, okay, for all the partners. I was looking at the 1180 puts, but I said we had to close down below the weekly trading zone that was down at 1187, 1188. So once we get down below 1187, 1188, then we can look at the 1180 puts. That never happened, as Dwayne showed you in his recap just a few minutes ago. I'll show you guys here. That was yesterday afternoon, right about here. I was saying if we break down below this level right here, then we'll start looking at the 1180 puts. It did not get down below there, and as a matter of fact, it went all the way back up here to this zone up here. Okay, when it went up to that zone, it started to fade off it, and that's what it's doing right now. So I'd be looking for it to get down here to the line in the sand for the next stop at 1204, 1204 quarter, and then I honestly could see it going all the way back down to the zone at 1187, 1188, right by the end of the day. Right now the Dow is, where did Dwayne say it was? The Dow is up 61 points right now, but it was up quite a bit more than that at one point, clearly. And that's what we have going on. That's what's going on here right now. All right. That is the recap for today. Did I give the date and all that? I'm not sure I did because I messed things up so bad right at the beginning. It was Friday, October 14th, 2011. All right. There. All right, the recording is off. That's going to be kind of a messed up recap. But
well, you know what? It'll be just fine.
No. There wasn't a whole lot in it today. This week has been sort of flat as far as trading goes. Unfortunately, you know, for all the partners that came into our, all the trial guys that came into our room this week, it's been, you know, not only has it been a short week, but it's been sort of a flat week too for us. Not a lot of trading opportunities, unfortunately.
Yeah, you might want to think rounding top, guys. Just a thought.
Yep.
Those take a while.
Yeah, they do. Here, we'll just put this out here so you can see it a little better. See, we hit it to the tick yesterday. A couple times. We have a double top right up there. All right, well, it's not exactly a double top, but it's pretty close to a double top right at that zone. It's getting rejected from it for the second time. We're dropping through this area right here, and we should make it down to this area right here. All right. From a trade perspective, we don't have anything in here, and that trade from over here, that original short that I had to take off, I had to leave on, actually hit the profit target right here. It was the profit target on that. Okay. That's it. That's what we have on the morning session.
Okay. All right. That is it. Yeah, that's quite the gap. This thing really got going overnight. And some of our charts showed a gap in the middle of the night, which apparently was just a data glitch. Bert was not showing it on his other chart. The ES there on your middle chart, on the sentiment chart, you got the line in the sand at 1204. We're currently trading 1207.5. and on the YM, we're still toying with that 465, 470 area. And this is for everyone's benefit. If price makes a firm move on the Dow below this 465, 470 area, then we could see a bounce easily off this 1204 if we get down to it. There's reason enough for that. We always look for at least a couple point bounce. But if the Dow at the same time is trading below 465, then this line in the sand might very well give away. Now, you can see that the line in the sand yesterday afternoon created... Is that yesterday afternoon?
The line in the sand yesterday afternoon, right over here. That was the 13th. Yes, that was yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
3:30.
I mean, that's a pretty extraordinary bounce. We look for a couple points typically, but as you see, it can go farther.
It usually does go farther, but we look for a couple points.
All right. I guess that's we've covered just about everything. Let me see if Mr. Williams is in the green room. And this being a Friday, we're just going to move this right along because, as all the world knows, I got to drive 5 hours to go to a wedding. I'm pretty pumped about that. Yeah, you know, life's good.
Yeah, you'll have those multiplication tables down by the time you get there.
Yeah.
Well, Gabe will.
Okay, Mr. David Williams, we don't know if you're ready yet because we're coming at you about 8 minutes early, but we're going to just guess that you are, that you sit in spellbound by our chatter prior to coming on the show yourself. David Williams from PageTrader.com, that would be the man I am referring to, folks, who does come on the show every day at 12:30 Eastern. We're going to bring him on a few minutes early today, get this show on the way, underway, and done. In the can, as they say in the business. We're going to pause for a very short station identification, and we will be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, here we are again on another Friday. The markets have been extraordinary over the last, 2 months, really. We've had just a lot of movement and a lot of volatility. Today's volatility isn't huge because maybe people have had enough of it this week. You know how people always try to figure out what the reason is for market movement, whether it's news or whatever. We try to say something about it.
Sure. Makes us sound smart.
Yeah, it does. It makes us look smart. People just want to have a nice weekend. That's why they're not trading volatility-wise today. But so yeah, we've got we started out today with a large gap up, and if you want, Dwayne, we'll dive right into the S&P.
Sure.
Because you have a really important wedding to go to.
It is.
And it's 5 hours away. That's a lot of driving. I want you to drive safely.
I will.
I don't know if you're driving that 1984 Saab Turbo, but whatever you drive, let's hope it has.
No, I don't
some
have that anymore.
Features.
Okay. I don't have that anymore. No, I'm driving my daddy van, my soccer van.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, let's talk about this a little bit.
You know, and I said I was going to bring this up, so I'll bring it up right now before, just to throw one little thing in there before, because people go, wait, they went straight to the markets? They don't do that.
I know. We don't. You know, we're going to have people typing in saying, well, whatever happened to the good old days? When they could type in and say, so, let's get to the markets. Go ahead.
On my soccer van, I drove around with a cracked windshield on that thing forever. No, I mean, a really long time. And, I mean, an embarrassingly long time. I mean, it was like when I would go to some social event, some family gathering of my wife's or church, you know, I would park at, like, the farthest end of the parking lot with my, you know, with the nose of my van pointed out into the desert so that nobody would see this heinous cracked windshield that I was driving around with, which, by the way, just isn't safe. And
yeah. On a practical level, that's right.
Yeah, it's not safe. I mean, I don't know, but sometimes we allow things to just, I don't know. So, because we got to take this drive, the wedding, my wife said, hey, you know, you need to do some other windshield. I'm like, yeah. So, I go on Craigslist, and I hit the category for automotive services, and then I type in windshield replacement, and up pops, you know, a bevy of ads, and one says, windshield replacement, $99. That sounds almost too good to be true. So I call it up, and the lady answers the phone on the first ring. I said, I saw your ad on Craigslist. She goes, yep, you got a windshield, we'll replace it, $99. I go, what if I want you to come to my house and replace it? She goes, then I'm going to charge you $125. Really? All right, put me down. He goes, all right, I'll be there tomorrow at 2. All right, noon. All right, he'll be there at noon. And in 5 minutes of, not even 5 minutes on Craigslist and the phone call combined, I made the arrangements. The young man showed up exactly at noon, well, about 5 minutes after. So I've got 10 minutes invested in this thing so far. He's very pleasant. He says, sir, come take a look at this brand new windshield I have on the back of my truck for you. I go, am I supposed to be looking for something particular? He goes, no, I just always like to show all my customers first before I put it in. And I go, well, looks like a windshield to me. Within 30 minutes, he was knocking on my door going, sir, I'm finished. Would you please come and inspect it? It was done, and it was beautiful, and it was clean, and obviously there was no cracks or breaks or anything in it. And I paid him, and he was even kind enough to peel my YMCA sticker off of the old windshield so I could show it to the folks at the YMCA, so they'll give me a new sticker for my new windshield. And then I just sat in the car for a few minutes, staring out at the world, and I no longer had broken glasses. I no longer had a crack in my field of vision. And it was like... How long would you have driven around with that cracked windshield? You know? And so there's my little life experience contribution for the week, guys. If you got a cracked windshield, just fix it. And that's a metaphor for anything in your life that needs to be fixed.
Ah, that's good. I like that.
See, that's my whole point.
No, that's good. It's amazing. It's almost like having a dirty windshield, which is also unsafe. You know, when your windshield's dirty and you can't see very well out of it, and you just haven't cleaned it in a while, and you've kind of gotten used to it. And what a remarkable thing when you clean it. It looks like, it feels like you're driving a new car because you can see out of it so cleanly and clearly. And that's a trick, by the way. That's another car dealer thing. I mean, they try to keep their cars clean, but windshields, when you drive through a car where the windshield is perfectly clear, it feels different and newer than the car that you're driving because your windshield's probably dirty. And so they always make sure that windshields are clean at dealerships, perfectly clean. If you ever go drive a new car, you'll see that the windshield is perfectly clean because they know there's a psychological little boost when you're looking out of that screen and this is perfectly legitimate and you see everything perfectly clearly. It makes it feel like it's a better car because you can see perfectly clearly out of that windshield, like, you know, with your crack and with dirty windshields and all that. So, you know, when you go to the car wash and you get your car washed and how nice it is when your windshield's clean and you can see perfectly through it,
some people got the message. Other people, all they heard was, and dude's talking about how he got on Craigslist and got a new windshield and it was like some, you know, spiritual experience. What's that all about? Now, if that's what you heard, that's okay, because there's other people in the audience who heard what I said, that it's a metaphor, it's a true thing that happened to me, but it's a, you know, metaphor for some bigger thing that's going on in your life right now that you should give attention to. Because my head, the agony of getting, you know, finding the windshield and finding a company and negotiating the price, and I had this whole battle in my head that I was going to have to endure and go through to achieve new windshield status. And it was, and once I set it in motion, the whole thing was so incredibly effortless. It was just, and that's not the first time that has played out in my life, that it's a recurring theme, if you will. And I'm just wondering if this time, did I really get it? You know what I mean? Or will I be forced to repeat the class yet again?
Well, we'll see, Dwayne.
We'll see. I'll keep you posted. I'm just that transparent. One other thing I'll throw in, and then I'll let you go to the market so we can put this show in the can.
Yeah.
You mentioned going to dinner at some point in the recent past with a friend who had a black card.
Yes.
I got this very odd-looking envelope showed up in the mail the other day. Very officious, very fancy. And it was addressed to my wife. And it was her invitation for the black card. Now, unlike a lot of the invitations you get these days that you that say you've been pre-qualified to apply, this was not one of those you've been pre-qualified to apply deals. This was the real deal, like people used to get in the old days. This was the real deal that said, out of 1% of households in America, you've been pre-selected to enjoy these benefits, the concierge, blah, blah, blah. You're already approved. All you have to do is sign here and return this. And if you would like to give your spouse a card, it'll be $195. And that's what caught my attention. I was like, wait a minute. To get a second card, I go, what is this first card going to cost? So I flipped that thing over. You know what the annual fee is for a black card?
Yeah. It's way up there.
$400 or $500.
$495. I know exactly how much it is.
Okay. Okay. All right, Mr. Black.
I know exactly how much that thing costs, and it's ridiculous.
And is it worth it?
You know, it depends on you, because it depends on how you're going to use it and all that stuff. But to be honest with you, you know, it's just another piece of plastic that's made out of metal in this case. And, you know, it's more, I'll tell you this, having one of those is obviously more about making a statement, like driving up in a, you know, nice car.
Without a cracked windshield? Is,
yeah, exactly. Driving up in a nice van without a cracked windshield. And that's more about what that is. Although the friend that I have who has one, hides it. You wouldn't know it. He turns it upside down and he keeps it to himself. But that's just because he's modest and has it for some other reasons. But you know, when you get to the point in your life where you're trying to where you're really going overboard trying to make statements in every possible way about who you are and how you have arrived and all that other stuff. You know, pride before a fall and all that. your attention should be on something a little bit higher, better, whatever, than just worrying about that, obviously. You get wrapped up in that, and after a while, you know, there's just no substance to you anymore. So, but yeah, no, they're expensive, and it's all part of that same thing that the fancy car people get. People are willing to pay more to separate themselves from other people, to make themselves more attractive, more, you know, make people in awe of them and, you know, all that stuff. And so if that's your thing, that's fair enough. My question to you would be, why do you need that? You know, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, and, I ripped it up and threw it in the trash. Because
that's good.
It just didn't make any sense. I mean, it's, you know, you're going to get concierge service. I mean,
what does that really mean?
What does that even mean? And it, all it means is it's something that's going to cost you money. Concierge is not free. Okay, we can actually start the show now because Larry just left. He typed in, "This is fascinating," and left. That guy's been bugging me all week. So now that he's gone, let's get this show on the road.
Oh, that's good, though. I just want to say to people that used to type that in when I would start off myself, and I would be on a rant of some kind, and they'd say, you know, this is great. You know, what about the markets and stuff? And now we've got Dwayne, the host, even doing it, too. I mean, that's just amazing. I don't know, Dwayne. You just something about you.
Anyway. Bill says that, well, the real test for that wind chill will be when it rains. Okay.
He's probably right.
Well, I went to the car wash yesterday, and it didn't leak, so.
Oh, that's good.
I'm hoping. Yeah.
Well, good. That's nice. There's very inexpensive services out there. I just want to mention this. I promise we'll get to the markets. I know this isn't a show about the American Express Black Card. I know it's not a show about windshields. But yesterday, I just want to mention that I had my carpets steam cleaned at the office. And you can get a lot of work done for very little money. And it's so little that I feel bad for the people, and I tip them, you know, a lot, because it just seemed ridiculous that they would bring all this machinery out for the tiny little bit of money that they were charging. But people are doing that now because everything has been cut in half. You know, everybody, the rich and the poor, took a big haircut in many, many different ways. And businesses are scrambling to try to get, you know, companies, customers, keep customers and keep their doors open and all that. So these guys came in, and just like you, Dwayne, they did a really nice job. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. They showed up on time. They brought the equipment in. They cleaned the carpets beautifully, and they left. And it was perfect. So I hired them. You know, we've got a couple other things that I'd like them to do, and so we hired them for those other things as well. So there's my windshield story. The carpets were dirty. I just want you to know that. So,
gotcha.
Okay, let's get on to the markets before someone else says this is fascinating and leaves. I'll tell you what is kind of fascinating. The October 4th bottom that we talked about many days ago, we'd forecast that that would be a bottom, coincided with the monthly bottom, the September monthly bottom that we had called. It occurred one trading month late, but just really just a few days late into early October, on October 4th. So that daily bottom confirmed pretty much the monthly bottom. And at the very least, at that point, because we didn't know that the rally would be this big at that time, at the very least, the market would have rallied off of that daily bottom, giving you a trade of at least 70 some odd points. We had a number, I can't remember what it was, but we had forecast that they would go up to a certain number, and they did that and much, much more. But my point is that one of the things about technical analysis is you can have one thing back up another thing, and this was a really good example of that type of work, where you have a 1 month late, and you guys know, everybody knows, we talk about how valuable the 1 unit late timing is. And look at what it's done. If you take a look at your monthly chart, the 1 month late is certainly the month where we had the big reversal. And so this is why I tend to stay away from trading 1 unit early, because there's really the possibility of, there's a lower probability that that's going to be the turn, even though plenty of turns occur on the 1 unit early in our timing. But the fact is that we like to wait for the on-time bar, or the 1 unit late. And the 1 unit late, which happens maybe, you know, this is rough, maybe 25% of the time or something, that really is a wonderful trading opportunity. And Dwayne, how long have I been saying that on this program? A long time.
Well, pretty long time.
Pretty long time. And this is just another good example of it, but it was backed up additionally by the fact that October 4th was a daily bottom occurring inside the 1 month late monthly bottom. And that was one of the initial things that got us interested in interested in trading the forecast on the long side for the move up to 1140 or whatever we were talking about that it would go to at the time. So we have a daily inside of a 1 month late. And you can see that kind of setup occur. Those of you who are utilizing reflected wave, you can see that kind of setup occur on a number of different time frames. You could simply, as an example, have a 1 hour late hourly bottom, and inside that, you could have a 15-minute bottom occurring inside of that as well, and making a new low, making the low of the hour, you know, of the 1 hour late. And so very much like it did with the monthly.
Hey, Michael,
it's fractal
are you
in nature.
There?
Go ahead.
Michael?
What's that?
I was asking if you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
This is a monthly chart, and I brought it up. Take a look at this. Those white candles for us represent a potential change of trend. I'd never really looked at this applied on a monthly chart. Well, I probably have looked at it, but this really stands out here. We had bullish for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months in view there. And the fact that we've had 3 months warning of a potential change of trend, and our MA1 has just gone bearish the last month and a half, it looks like. Boy, that looks like these markets could get hit pretty hard. And that's just an out of the blue comment because I've never really brought.
When you say hit, you mean hit going down, or what do you?
Yeah,
referring to?
It's like, you know, we could be on the verge of a substantial move to the downside.
Oh, talking about on the daily chart or on the monthly?
I'm looking at this monthly here, and I don't, you know, that's really huge for me. I mean, you finally got me up to an hourly chart, but you know, monthly, that's kind
right.
of beyond my
yeah.
Depth of perception. So, what does the monthly look like to you, David, based on your work?
Well, in our work, we are all of this is sort of tied together. We, you know, we're looking in the abstract at the monthly, but all of this is really tied to a bunch of other things. If we were to look at a monthly chart, way back in July of 2010, we had called for a monthly bottom, and the market rallied up and went far, which continued to rally up off that bottom. And that finalized that quarterly top that we've talked about so many times on the program. And then the quarterly top led to this forecast for the monthly bottom. So in our particular viewpoint, we're looking for a multi-month advance off of this bottom.
Okay.
Now you were saying, and I didn't quite understand, and I think maybe the listeners might not quite have understood either, but it looked to me like your chart was indicating a change of trend potentially to the upside, but you were referring to it as a potential that the market could get hit on the downside.
Right. Yeah, no, because
maybe
we had
explain that.
Yeah, we had blue candles, which are bullish, and then we've had 3 months of what we consider to be a potential change of trend, a warning.
Okay, oh, see.
That the
okay.
change may trend it doesn't mean that the trend is going to change. It's just like waving a flag, going, "Hey, pay attention. It
right.
might change." And the fact
but
that
hasn't
saw
the trend been down though, and wouldn't that change be up, or are you seeing it in a different way?
Typically, what we see is we see blue. Let me see. I'm on a daily chart right now. We typically see. See, this has all just been very choppy through here. There hasn't been any mm-hmm. slice. See here, we get we've got blue, and then we got white, and we go to red, and we trade lower. And we get mm-hmm. a warning here, but we continue to trade lower. And then we get a warning, and then we, in fact, do trade higher. So now this is on a daily. So the daily mm-hmm. is telling us that look for higher prices. But the monthly is saying be on the lookout for lower prices.
Okay.
And again, this is not one of our indicators that I typically apply to a monthly chart. So that's why I was asking Michael if he saw it and what his thoughts might be.
Oh, I see. I got you. Well, just again, in our view, we're looking for a monthly bottom. That's a very pertinent time frame. It's large, and it means to us that we would expect a multi-month advance off of the low that was made in October, and that it would be difficult for the market to invalidate this. I mean, it can happen, but it would be difficult for them to do it, and we'd like to go with the high probability. Mm-hmm. The high probability is that we would be seeing a multi-month advance sideways to higher for several months. From this point forward, and from basically from October forward. This is October, and the big rally off of the October 4th bottom is another, it may not have been tradable, but it makes the point. I'm not saying it wasn't tradable, but it makes the point very clearly, whether it was tradable or not, that the 1 unit late is a very powerful time frame to be operating your trading business in. You know, you can do a lot with it. I've mentioned it for many years on the program, and it's served us very well in a number of different ways. Monthly is a very large time frame. There's no question about it. It takes a whole month to print one bar, and so there's quite a bit of movement that can happen in that time frame that could look like it's bullish and then end up being bearish later. You know, all of that, and you have to realize that that is the case, and so. in this particular case, there's quite a few things that tie together the last three turning points. I won't go into all the detail here. You know, it's verbally, it's hard to put it together anyway, but the July bottom on the monthly chart, the second quarter top, these are the forecast turns, the July bottom, the second forecast, second quarter quarterly top, and then the September bottom, which came one unit early. I do want to point out that the quarterly top was originally forecast for the first quarter of the year of 2011, and that quarterly top, although it only went a little higher and closed below the first one, also occurred one unit late, and look what happened right after that. Take a look at your quarterly chart, and you'll see that the market immediately dove down very sharply after the one quarter late top was put in, again showing the value of knowing the one unit late time period when they give it to you, which often is only, you know, and again, it's roughly maybe 25% of the time. So that's a very important piece of technical analysis for us. And now let's bring it down to the daily chart. For the last several days, I've been talking about on the program, and I think, Dwayne, you might have asked me yesterday, I think you did, about the possibility of a short position here. And I couldn't tell you to be short primarily because we mentioned a couple days ago that this move up is larger than daily and that it implies the possibility, the potential for higher prices into next week. And also that any pullback would therefore be buying territory, which I mentioned yesterday, and they were making a reflective wave bottom intraday yesterday for the possibility of new highs. And that's exactly what they did today. Now, the reason they're able to go up and do the new highs from our perspective, obviously you can look at the news and say they went up for this and that and the other reason, but purely from a technical standpoint is because there really is a larger force at work on the upside here that makes it easy for the market to break to new highs in spite of the fact that in almost every technical case, the market would be considered to be overbought, which for those of you who don't know what that means, it means when you go out and spend too much money on your American Express card, then you're overbought, and then you have to pay that off. That's humor, and it's Friday, and no one's laughing, so I'll just continue.
I laughed.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't quite hear it, but that's all right.
I was laughing so hard, I actually had my microphone on mute, so you couldn't.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know the comedy isn't good when you have to ask people politely to laugh. That just can't be a good thing.
It's like when the preacher goes, well, that was a mighty good spot for an amen, and then everybody goes,
right
amen.
Right there, yeah. Amen. Yeah. So anyway, this is what I was kind of talking about earlier in the week, or even warning about, to be careful on the short side because of the likelihood of higher prices into next week, which is the on-time cycle high for a top. So whether or not we get that, a couple things are important for today, one of which is that there's a level that's been important to us, and that is 1203. And 1203 was the level that we needed to see the market get to in order to indicate that a larger force was at work. And they did reach that. They were unable to close above that for the last 2 days. And today, we're up at 1210.25. If we do close above 1203, that's an important bullish continuation for us. And there's, just like Dwayne said, there's several different counter situations running against each other here. One is if today were to close above 1203, that's important. There's no question in my mind that that's important and bullish. But number two, what we've also talked about is that there's a very important date on the roadmap for the 14th. Today is October 14th. And I've noted that that's an important date for a couple of different markets. So the 14th could very well mark the top, but because of several of these factors that are, you know, they're counter trending each other. What's the word when they're opposing each other? I would be very careful taking either a long position or a short position over the weekend. I would let Monday come into play because what we want to do is if you can't see it clearly, it's like your windshield on your car. Maybe you shouldn't be driving at night. Well, this is a situation right now where we have the 14th as a potential important top in this market, which, remember, originally we'd called for a top on October 11th, and that came one day late, which was the 12th. Then they had yesterday's pullback off that. Today we're retesting that top on the 14th. Now, reflected wave and roadmaps are different setups and systems, but the 14th is an important date as well. So my point is that we're retesting an important high. We've got a larger force at work on the upside, which means the potential for higher prices next week. Had we never touched 1203, I and several others would have been shorting this, some of them with both hands, if you know what I mean. They would have been really getting into this. But as soon as 1203 was reached, that changed the whole outlook of what the market was doing here. So I think it's good to be careful at this point with this market up here. And let's allow them to show their hand, at least I'm going to, into next week, because this is somewhat like driving with a dirty windshield at night right now in my world, because I have several indications. They're all good, but two of them counter each other, and I would rather not worry. It, you know, bothers me that I can't put it together the way I'd like to, but that just means I shouldn't be trading it. That's for me. I'm just not going to step in just so I can hopefully be on the right side of this. That's not a good way of trading. I can trade, I mean, take this for what it's worth, I can trade a lot less often than I used to and make much better results at the end of the month than I used to when I used to trade a lot more often. And that's only because I'm taking the time and the concern and the care to find stuff that just really speaks to me, setups that really mean something to me and that I really feel, you know, hey, this is something I really understand. Everybody has a different viewpoint on what will get them excited about the market, and we've gone over a number of different times the various different things that you can do. You know, there's not only news trading, but there's people who will trend follow and many, many different techniques. But all of those people are looking for something they understand and works and fits in their world. And I'm doing the same thing. But in my particular case, because I used to overtrade, I traded way too much. I can honestly say that I can do much better with a, in many cases, dramatically less number of trades in a given month and come out way, way ahead of myself in the old days, you know, trading quite often, trying to. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with trading a lot either if you have a lot of good indications, you know, but just to be chasing around and trading back and forth, that's why they call it trading, because that's all you end up doing is trading your money back and forth. And in many cases, not coming out too much ahead. So this advance to retest is not really a surprise to me. They put in a pretty good, for those with reflected wave, they put in an important reflected wave bottom yesterday. They're rallying up. They're capable of doing this rally to new highs, which they broke to today, because there is a larger force at work. And we'll see, unless they give us some other indication later today, we'll see into Monday if... and how they're handling the 14th, because there definitely is something very important on this date. Double-checked it, and there's no question in my mind. So we're going to wait before we take any further action at this point. We have the monthly bottom that if we already know that there's larger than daily pushing the market up, this could also be monthly. I mean, the monthly bottom's in, and they could just, you know, this could be the beginning of much, much bigger movement where the monthly continues to express itself. So we want to be careful on the short side. Just because your indicators are overbought doesn't mean that the market is overbought. It just simply means the method by which you're measuring overbought and oversold is too small to fit what's really happening. In some cases, overbought can be very useful, but how are you, what time frame are you looking at? If you're watching overbought on a 5-minute chart, you're going to be, you know, trying to sell short for an awful long time, right? Because this is much larger than that. So you have to have the appropriate tool, the appropriate measuring stick for what the market's doing. And one particular time frame is not always going to do it correctly. And that's one of the secrets behind the multiple time frame approach, is that gives you that flexibility to utilize and find which time frame is appropriate in the market rather than just sticking with one time frame. So, and then I do want to, I know you have a wedding, and I think it's 5 hours away, Dwayne, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
There was a question if you could, if you have any comments at all regarding the euro. And this, I just pulled up a daily chart on the euro, and this is a this shows that indicator that I was showing earlier. This kind of shows what a more typical setup of it looks like. You can see these daily red candles falling, and then you get a white warning candle, and then you go to a bullish color, and it starts to climb. And but one of the listeners, Charles, said, could David please give any comments on the euro if he has any?
Well, that's a very nice question, and I'd be very happy to. The euro did a really interesting thing, and I want to... Actually, it might be too complicated to go into. I try to verbalize complex things, and I always find myself in trouble doing that because I don't have the picture to show it so much. But a couple things. The euro is in a bullish position as well. I know the euro's up here, and it's pretty obvious that that's the case, but I want to confirm that that is the case, and that a daily close today above 138.25 would also be bullish for the euro coming into next week as well. I don't have, and I thank you for the question, and I don't have, and I'm going to set up, and I promised this last weekend, but I didn't do it. I'm going to set up charts for the euro and for crude, two markets that I really love and have not traded in for a little while because my focus has been on gold and the S&P for a little while here. And that happened during the rollover, the whole, you know, thing where I broke away from those two markets for a little while, the euro and crude, is because we did the rollover, but in doing the rollover, I didn't redo everything that's necessary to see, to apply our work on it. So I'm going to get that caught up this week, and I'll be able to give you much better, and there probably have been a number of roadmaps in the euro that we could have taken advantage of. I apologize. I don't have much for the euro today. I'm looking at it, and although I am sometimes tempted to give out generalities, I think there's enough going on here that I'd rather put it together. Really briefly, let's just review. You know, the euro had made a top in May. We have not called for a top, but the top that they made in May of this year, the market had then gone sideways for quite a number of months. And we had talked about this, the month of August, or not the month, but the week of August 22nd through 29th, being a top, which would culminate, which will have culminated that whole sideways motion. We were basically saying that the cycle that was going to hit on August 22nd through 29th was bigger than the cycle that was keeping the market in that range for that whole period of time. Let's just take a look and see how long. They essentially were kind of in that range for maybe 15 weeks or so going sideways. And then we had found that there was a cycle large enough to take that, override that power. And then, of course, we'd come out with the forecast for the big decline of 800 pips. Now that they've done all that and continued to try to press lower, but if you take a look, the market has not been able to close below 133.80 on a weekly basis. And without going into too much complexity about this, the fact that they weren't able to do that means that the chart was really had a lot of pressure on it, but could not really extend the move down and sustain it. They sure tried. And then they've had this what could be considered a snapback rally, very powerful snapback rally, very similar to what the S&P is doing on the upside. So I will put together, I'm just reviewing what the market's done here. I don't have any forecast for today, but I probably will have a roadmap next week on longer time frames anyway for this, and we can do something with this, and I will be able to hopefully be better used to you in putting a trade together. So I do want to go over to gold real quick because Dwayne has to drive 5 hours because he's going to a wedding today. I don't know if you guys, if he's mentioned that or not.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
With that windshield now is cleared up and there's no crack in it, if that guy Larry was still on, he would know by this time that you're going to a wedding as well. It's 5 hours away. So I'm pretty comfortable that you'll get there probably within 5 hours.
I hope so.
Clear view out there. You know, what year is that van, Dwayne? Is it a V8? That's what I want to know. Is it a V8 van?
No. Yeah, it's 2005 Town and Country.
Oh, Town and Country. Okay. Well, you're living good. You know.
Apparently, you've never seen a Town and Country van, so.
Oh, well, no, I have seen a Town and Country van. And,
I mean, it's a nice vehicle.
It's a nice little van. I'm not playing with you. You know, you're getting black card offers in the mail. You're driving a Town and Country. You've got weddings to go to. You got a radio program. You got
really
long hair.
Did I mention it's 2005? That's
2005 is not bad. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's if we can, let's go to gold. This is a great example of everything that I want to see in a market setting up, even though it hasn't happened. Okay, so I just want to point this out. This is just a good example of something. Yesterday we talked about, the last couple of days we've talked about gold, because there's a really important condition in gold where under normal conditions the market would want to go down. Remember, the 14th is a big important date. The market would want to go down to 1646 to 1644 into the 14th, and today is the 14th. Yesterday is the one trading day early, and they got down to 1654, you know, about 8 points higher. They were not able to get down to that, and what we're calling for is we're saying is that really a fairly important move is expected out of this. And I want to explain, just so you can see kind of how the roadmap thing works. As you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been calling for a weekly bottom in gold, and the weekly bottom was due on the week of September 26. And it came on the week of September 26, the weekly bottom in gold. And we've been talking also about that this is that the gold move is not over yet, the upside is not over yet. And at the very least, this bottom is going to hold. This was our outlook, that this bottom would hold and that the market would have a multi-week advance off this. And then we went into the one-week late period, which was last week, and now we're past that. So we're completely outside of the zone, to use a Duane word, mm-hmm. of the time zone where we would have any concerns about the market bottoming. You know what I'm saying? We're through that whole little window of time. And that means the market has to go up. But in the roadmap, if you look at a daily chart, the last move down that the market would make before it would go up would be down into the 14th. That's the last daily bottom we would expect to see of importance before the market would then launch and begin expressing the fact that we're outside of the bottoming zone and the market needs to go up now. This is all technical, obviously. So normally today the market would have bottomed at that level, 1646 down to 1644. It right now appears that they bottomed yesterday at slightly higher prices, which is unusual, but I'm not going to count out, and I'm not going to actually do anything with this until Monday. But the call was for the market to advance this is approximate, but about $7,000 per contract from the low. So that would mean that, you know, that's the minimum. That would bring us up to about roughly, you know, 1724 area, something like that. And that's where we want to trade to. I really would have preferred, I would have loved this to see the market go. I mean, I made such a big deal about it because it is such an easy thing to see. But I wasn't able, the market has not been able to go down and do that. That's kind of unusual, but, you know, gold is what it is, and it has some different qualities to it. We have worked with gold in the past, and it does tend to do what it's normally going to do and supposed to do. So it didn't really do that, and so we're counting it right now as one day early, which is the 13th, the bottom, until further notice. So I'm going to wait until Monday for this. I may do something with it on the overnight on Sunday if they happen to be running up and expressing that the move is on. So for those of you who have been following this setup, I would have just loved to see it gone down and complete the natural level. But when markets can't, for the most part, when markets can't complete their natural level, something very powerful is working in the market. There's buying pressure that won't allow the market to touch its level. And in this particular case, I'm just going to have to say that that's likely what's happening. But like the S&P, I'm not as certain about this, so therefore I'm not yet in the market to really take advantage of this just yet. So there's how it sits. And sometimes, you know, the markets just do, there's enough forces at work, there's enough things that you can't track every last one of them. Maybe you can, but I can't. And, you know, in most cases, they do the natural thing. For those of you who have been on the program for years, you know, you've seen so many of these where they do exactly what they're supposed to do time and time again. And then there's conditions that come up like this where, you know, you're left thinking, well, you know what, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But that's my old style. I don't think I'm going to do anything until, I know I'm not going to do anything until I see something high probability that confirms for me that the bottom really did come one trading day early. In most cases, it would have been difficult for the market to not touch 1646 to 1644. That's a powerful place for the market to go. So they weren't able to do it, and so this is another setup like the S&P, like I said, where we're going to stand aside for a little bit on this and let them have some time into Monday. And so we'll update this on Monday and see how this goes. At that point, we still may put out a free trade for it, but you guys know what the setup is and where we're going on the upside. We'll let them work this out themselves. We'll let gold fight it out amongst itself. It would be interesting and somewhat unusual also if Monday did go down, as an example, and go complete that level. And I'm not sure what I would do with that at this point. So we'll just wait. We're just going to have to wait and see. And I'll tell you on Monday how that plays out.
Okay. Question
so there you
back
are.
To the S&P from Patrick. He says, if the S&P closes below 1203 today, David, would you consider that to be a bearish indication?
I do, and thank you for asking that. I do consider it to be more bearish than bullish, and if they close below 1203. But 1203, the completion of 1203, is the measuring stick by which we know that the market has a larger force at work. Mere completion, not the fact that they closed above it or below it. The mere completion, like I mentioned the other day, that they touched it, is indication that there's a larger force at work on the upside. And so some of the people that we talk to, and some of them are institutional people, who were very excited about trading short in the market. And Dwayne had asked about the short position yesterday because it seems like a natural, you know, the market's been up, it's testing important levels, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that it touched 1203 indicates that under normal conditions we would go higher even into next week. So we want to be very careful with that. Even if they close below 1203, I would be still hesitant to want to short the market. I don't think they will necessarily today close below it, but even if they did, I would be hesitant to take that too seriously until we get a little further along. That's why I'm saying there's a lot of counter stuff here, because let's just say, what was the fellow who just asked? Was that Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Patrick, if the market did close today below 1203, that would help me to believe in the 14th being a top, because we've talked about the 14th being a roadmap date. And therefore, that would get me interested anyway in the potential for the short side. That's where I would stand. But the mere completion of 1203 a few days ago also indicates that there's a larger force at work on the upside. So you see, we don't know it all. This is a point where we have to say this isn't a high probability trade on the long or the short side for me. As a matter of fact, for trend followers, they would just continue holding their positions, their existing long positions, because the market has done nothing wrong yet. And so they would still be long, you know, in spite of all of this stuff right here. So I would be careful with this. And also, Patrick, I would also want to say to you that if it was the case that you were already short and holding over the weekend, I would be very careful, and I would find a place where you can say to yourself, this would make me wrong, if you happen to be short. I'm not accusing you of being short, but sometimes people ask questions like your question when they're already in a position because they want confirmation. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is that if it is going to close above 1203, and if there really is a larger force, which has confirmed technically to us that there is, we could be substantially higher at some point next week, and there's no point for you to hold on to that position. We're all smart enough to get into a good trade somewhere to make that back. And I deal with people who sometimes lose, will step in incorrectly and lose very large dollar amounts in a given day that they then have to go back in and fix that later and make that up. So that happens to even the best of the traders. You know, so you put a position on and the market confirms for you in some way, and then you put it on and it says, no, we really don't mean that. We're really going this way. So at some point we have to be wrong. Staying wrong would be a bad idea when the forces are this big, because as I mentioned the other day, we all know this. There's people who are short from, you know, 11:23 or 11:10, and it's 100 points against them, or they've just completely got margined out and whatever. That's the kind of thing that can happen. So we want to be real careful, and I will we'll talk about this on Monday again as they are here, but there are some mixed indications here, and I'm more bullish than bearish at this point, and I was a few days ago because of the 1203 being reached, and I still am, and if today closes above 1203, then that leaves me bullish, more bullish than bearish into the weekend, but not enough on either side to actually take a trade. Well, then you're a wimp. You know, you don't want to, you know, you're not willing to step up, you know, and that's not how I think. I don't think of myself as either a you know, Superman or a wimp in the markets. I think of myself as somebody who knows enough to know when not to trade. And the little that I do know, when I see it happen, that's when I do want to trade. And I'm constantly, like you guys are, we're all trying to improve what it is we do really understand, the real thing about the markets. We're trying to incorporate any new thing we can that's useful. And but the stuff that we do know, the facts that we do know about the market, we have to wait to see those in order to have that high probability. It's all about high probability. That's really what this is all about. Why would you ever want to come to Las Vegas and gamble when you know that the probabilities, the odds are against you? Gambling is the act of betting money when you already know the odds are against you. Investing, to me, is the act of in putting money into something when you, to the best of your knowledge, know that the odds are in your favor. That's the difference between gambling and investing. So when a person, you know, people use those words somewhat interchangeably. If somebody, well, you're gambling if you buy a house, you're gambling. You do. Not really. The gamble is when you know in advance the odds are against you. Now you're gambling, in my mind. If you are putting something in and the odds are in your favor, that's an investment. If I can know that the odds are in my favor, yeah, I want to participate in that. I'd like to invest. That's like somebody opening up their own business. Well, you're taking a gamble. You know, yeah, but if the guy knows what he's doing or has an edge in some way in business or whatever it is, he has, it's really more of an investment than it is a gamble. That's how I define those two, the differences between those words. It may just be academic because in every case you're taking a gamble, but if you want to, you know, think of it that way, you know, getting up in the morning and blinking is taking a gamble because, you know, anything can happen. So I think that's it for the weekend for me. I'm just going to be real careful with this and wait for next week to further confirm the bullishness of the overall market here. And I'm glad you guys, Dwayne, didn't take your, what if you were thinking about maybe an options position or something like that. There's enough going on here to wait on that before you grab that. And listen, if they open up on Monday and they're 15 points down or something, well, fair enough, you know, but this wasn't one of those setups that really was clear enough for me. So I'm just letting you know how I'm handling it. I'm going to be flat on this. We did have some nice trades on the way up, but at this point, a daily close today above 1203 will be important. 1203 is a natural level in the market. It's also a square, so it's got a lot of value to us as in terms of an indication. So Dwayne, I think that's everything we can talk about today. It's real quiet. Volatility is really low. It might not be a bad idea just to, you know, if you guys, if any of you out there, you know, have maybe a wedding to go to, or I don't know if it was far away or something, 3, 4, maybe 5 hours, you ought to just leave now, get in your van and, you know, hit the road. Because the trading is going to be a little slow, it's going to be a little quiet, and stuff like that.
Wow.
That's me hinting to you that I just ended a sentence there. When I say stuff like that, it means I'm just sort of out of things. You can interject something there.
Well, it's been a great week, David. Thanks so much for everything.
My pleasure.
The markets
have made
are
some money
fairly quiet
with
here.
I mean, yeah, it really is. I do want to mention, we did have this is something that, you know, is already past the fact, but some of our guys bought this morning at around 12:08, and they held through that whole bunch of 5-minute bars that went sideways and then retested today's low, which was about 12:07, and now the market has confirmed that move, and we're up at 12:12. So there's, I know some people that had that bought this utilizing reflected wave in order to, and for those of you who know reflected wave, they'll know the setup that we're talking about here for this morning's buy and the exact price bar, et cetera, that they would want to buy at. One last thing, I would like to invite people to go to, we will have one last webinar before our next seminar, which is November 12th and 13th. If you haven't learned this methodology before, it is available. This is our last seminar for the year for Reflected Wave, and there's a lot of really interesting and good things that a person can do when they understand how time frames and cycles work together to produce turning points in the market. And when you do understand that and know a small number of rules that come with it, you can really know with a great deal of confidence that certain things are going to happen. And you guys know, for those of you who have been listening for a while, you know, when we come out with something, we're very strong on it. We're very confident that certain things are going to happen in a certain way. And in a large number of cases, they work out just like we say. And that's because the principles behind reflected wave are robust. That means they cover a lot of ground. They take into account a lot of the variances that happen in the market. Even though they're variances, they're already sort of taken into account by the reflected wave principle. So when the market moves from a bottom, from a low to a high, it does so on a fuel, a type of fuel. And that fuel is, there's actually two different types of fuel. And what reflected wave is really doing, without you having to calculate any of this, it's calculating, even though there's two different fuels in the tank, it's calculating when all of the fuel has been used up. And I won't go into all the detail now because Dwayne needs to leave, but it's a really interesting principle that covers a lot of ground in the market. And that means it covers a lot of the variances that the market can show you, and it can still work, as a less robust principle would work under only certain conditions. So as an example, the roadmap, it's pretty robust, but there are definitely a set of conditions that have to be there for to do a roadmap, where reflected wave has a much wider variance that it can contain because of this one principle being as robust as it is. So it goes back to that tool belt thing where we, you know, we all have a certain number of tools that we use, and we wait for certain things to happen, and then we take our trades. And it is, remember, trading should be fun. It shouldn't be torture to you. It shouldn't be killing you. You shouldn't be being killed in the market. You should be able to manage the risk without having too much torture. Don't bring up trading to women that you're trying to meet because they don't care. It turns them off. You know, we've covered a lot of ground just in that. I've told you before, you're better off telling somebody, a new woman that's in your life that you just got out of jail, than you are telling her that you day trade in the markets. Because I don't know what that is, but there's no faster way to turn a woman off than just tell them that. Unless it's the rare woman who happens to day trade in the markets. Then she'll get it. But come up with some other line if you're going to be talking to women, other than, oh, I day trade the financial markets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice. Anyway, I don't know why I'm always telling people how to get women. I mean, I don't know how to get a woman. So, you know, it's not not my prerogative. But I've just noticed that women are, you know, they're not turned on by this subject matter. And we've talked about that. We've joked about that before. Dwayne, is your wife turned on by the markets?
No. Not at all.
Oh, gosh, what a surprise. I wouldn't have known that. Is my fiance turned on by the markets? No, not even in the least. Mm-hmm. She doesn't mind making money from the markets, but she certainly isn't turned on by the markets and the movement and what it means and all that stuff. I can name a bunch of people that I know that, you know, have women that just stand around and tolerate the money that they're making, but they don't want to hear about the markets. You know, it's kind of like me in football. I figure a woman feels about the markets as I do about football, because football doesn't do anything for me. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it just doesn't.
I'm not a sports guy. The whole, you know, I hate this team. And they say it with such passion in their voice. I hate you know, Raiders or Cowboys or whoever it is. It's like, how, you don't, number one, you don't even know them. And number two, it's not even the same guys that were on the field a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And so how is it that you have all of this energy and emotion towards this group of overpaid athletes? I mean, granted, I don't take away from the fact that they are they're great athletes, and you know, but the order of priority that we have given those individuals in our society today is I find that far more fascinating than the sport itself. The fact that people are so crazy and so emotional over it, that's what interests me, you know, not the actual sport. So, anyway.
Well, Duane, listen, you go have a great wedding. Nice drive out there in the town and country. New windshield.
Thanks.
The road's going to look nice.
And by the way, I mean, I'm not knocking anybody that's into sports and into football and has teams that they love and are passionate about, and you put the big wedge of cheese on your head when you watch the game. No, if that's what you enjoy and you know, then that's wonderful. I'm really glad. It's just I'm simply saying that.
Just making an observation.
I'm just saying that I don't have that gene. I'm not genetically disposed to putting a big wedge of cheese on my head.
Right.
And
I do want to say though that I've heard traders who don't know who they're trading against speak with the same kind of anger, the same kind of vitriol, whatever, when they talk about they. They ran them up, you know, they ran them down. I put my position on, they stiked me out, and they ran them up. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's, you know, that same kind of, you know, you don't know who you're talking about, but you're really not happy about them. Because who's they? You know, we don't, on the team, at least you know there's a team there, there's a physical thing there, you can see them, and even though the players may change, but the market, you don't know any of the people. You've never met any of the people you're trading against, and you never will. And then we still have that same thing. I'm just making that observation.
David, have a great weekend,
yes.
My friend.
that clamped you up pretty good. All right. I will.
No, that's good. That's appropriate.
No.
I agree with you.
I'm just playing with it. Well, listen, we'll put it together better next week and see if we can do something with this this and gold, because both of these are in very interesting positions right now. We appreciate your patience this week also when trying to work all the market moves out. And, Duane, you have a great weekend, and all the listeners as well. Thanks for the questions, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
Take care, Dave.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
What time?
All right, guys, that's my signal to get on up and get out of here myself. Looks like the market wants to try to test that 1617 again. It could happen. Now, remember, we showed you this at the beginning of the show right here, and we said this is a really important area on the YM, on the Dow, this 465, 470. See that? Market came down, tested it. Here we go. Now, all it did was act as support. There's nothing more, nothing bigger than that. It just served as a very good support level. And that translated, because that area held a support, then it just simply translated over into the ES and, you know, it's holding the market up. Where do we close the day? I have no idea. And I won't be here to see it. But I hope you have a great weekend. It is the weekend. Make sure you spend some quality time with your family. Obviously, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.